Well, folks, tonight we're delighted in that in the providence of God, David Champlin is with us tonight. He's left his wife and his ministry in Suriname, about 3 weeks ago. Is that right, brother? 2 weeks. He knows. He knows how long he's been away from his wife. She's a strong lady to be able to hold the fort and carry on in his absence, but he's on a very many furlough reporting to some churches, and we're part of that itinerary, so we're delighted that he's here. His sister Debbie is here with him tonight. There's a display out in the Welcome Center for you to go by and check out. After his report, we'll receive an additional offering for our brother and his ministry. So, Brother David, will you come and
it's different to be in church wearing a suit, speaking in English. Normally it would be in San Antonio, and it's a language I speak, I most often preach in. But tonight the services in Suriname will be going on. Out in the jungle, those services will not be going on. Travel through on the rivers, through the jungle to get to the places where we hold services, or for the people that hold the services to get to the places where the people are, is not very easy and not the safest thing to do. So there'll be no services there. In the capital city, in the four O'Connor churches that we have there, there will be services. And then tonight at our house, there will be a Bible study. And teachers, some of the teachers from the International Academy of Suriname, a Christian school, where Lynn is teaching now, will come there and get together. We've been down in Suriname now since 1973, 75, I guess, as an adult. 73 as an adult, but 75 as a married person. And our mission efforts at ministry has been going on that whole time. We have a short video that will give you an idea of what's happening. Let's watch that, and then if there's any questions or comments, then you'll be better informed to ask him. Hope that gives you a little idea of what's happening down in Suriname. We're there as peacemakers, not the ones with blue ballistic helmets and body armor, driving around in white painted vehicles with large letters painted on the sign UN. Those people can never bring peace. The Bible says it very clearly. Reason being that they can't bring peace, they can't bring the righteousness of God. The Bible makes it very clear that unless the righteousness of God is brought to a situation, peace can't be brought. That's a sad thing to think about. We will try our government, other governments, 96 different individuals, 24 organizations have received the Nobel Peace Prize. They've not been able to bring peace. They can't bring it unless they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And unless the righteousness of God has been applied to their lives, which, as you were singing today and talking about this evening, the cross, Colossians chapter 1, says very plainly that peace, righteousness, is by the cross. 2 Corinthians says that reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation, is by the cross. And only when you're reconciled by God's word, by God's righteousness, can you have peace. And so, with that in mind, the efforts of Vice President going to the Ukraine, as I've heard on the news, are not going to work. the efforts of Secretary of State Kerry are not going to work. Understand me, we're talking about biblical. These world leaders may arrange a truce, but can they bring lasting peace? So we as humans, many of us like to think that we have the answers, but we don't. And only if the righteousness of God is applied. You saw some things there in the pictures. You saw a flagpole, flagatiki as they call it. And I mentioned there that the people in the village go to that flagpole to make peace with the spirits. Because they are seeking peace. They live in fear. Many of us live in fear of different things. Some have asked us, weren't we afraid to live out in the jungle? Weren't we afraid of the animals and so on? I am, in that sense, more afraid to live in the capital city than in the jungle. The animals in the jungle have a nature. They basically fear humans. And unless you trap them, step on them, somehow get into their way, meet them in some unfortunate situation, they normally don't bother you. But when you go to the capital city, come here to the U.S., and you live in a city, I am not putting down or calling them ugly names, but there are two-footed beasts, two-footed snakes. And they do look at you, watch you, wait for an opportunity to ambush you, and harm you. Maybe just take your possessions. Maybe do more than that. And so living in the capital city, I take precautions against humans that I didn't have to worry about out in the jungles. So it's a sad commentary on man. But getting back to being the work out in the jungle is bringing peace to people. Somebody dies out in the jungle, they're going to try to carry the body around that flagpole 7 times to determine why they died. And if they died because of witchcraft, then they're going to have to find the witchcraft and get rid of it. If they died because God killed them, and they believe down there, the phrase is, God holds your life string, and when God either lets it go or cuts it, your life ends, then you can be buried in a normal way. But if you weren't, if you were declared to be an evil person, an evil death, because they could not carry you around the flagpole, then in the old days, they would just put the body in a canoe, shove it up on the shore, and let the body rot. Animals and this and that eat it. But otherwise, you get buried in a hole. And at the end of the funeral, the head person that conducts the mourners or those involved with the dead, he's known as Karapisi, that person climbs on top of the mound of dirt piled on top, you know, closing off the hole. And he picks up clods of dirt and he throws them in all directions. And as he throws these clods of dirt, he says, concerning the dead person, talking to the spirit of the dead person, if anybody ever offended you, cursed you, said a word against you, this or that, please do not remember it, throws dirt. And he continues to throw clods of dirt as he verbally tries to cover all the bases. Every possible way that somebody might have done something to offend the dead person, doing the best he can do to make sure that he's got all the bases covered, that that spirit has no reason to come back. Why? They're seeking peace. Because if that doesn't get done, there's going to be problems in the village. People are not going to have peace. I have teased the O'Connors, those that live on the Cotica River, and I've not done this with many of them, but some of them that I have a good enough relationship with. I've told them, I said, when my father dies, Daryl Champlin dies, he's down there now. I said, when he dies, I'm going to have his body cremated, and I'm going to take his ashes and put them into the Cotica River. If I were to do such a thing, and I won't, but if I were to do such a thing, there would be no peace on the Cotica River. any event that happened, canoe that sank, accident in the river, other things that happened, people would be going back over and saying, you offended the missionary. You cursed him, you did this to him, you stole from him, you did this and that, whatever it was. Their minds would be searching their activities to find some explanation for what happened to them. And they would say, it's my father's spirit in the river. And the efforts that they would make to get his spirits out of the river would be interesting to watch. I mean, I can appreciate them. You all wouldn't appreciate it. But I wouldn't do something like that. But what I'm trying to give you an idea is there is no peace until the righteousness of God. They have to come the same way we do. Matthew 5 lays it right out. Begging, humble, hungering and thirsting, seeking. You got to have it. And then you have the peace of God. And then you're supposed to be a peacemaker, taking that message to others so that they can have peace. Applying the Word of God to situations in life so there can be peace. The Bible makes it very clear that we are to preach it, to teach it, to strive for it. The Bible makes it clear that it's fruit of the Spirit and that it should be an important part. It gives us, in 2 Corinthians, says it's the ministry of reconciliation, and we are to be preaching that, making people right with God. The only way that can be done, and the only way it will bring lasting peace. But I will warn you, the last three verses in the Beatitudes say that there will be an effect of being a peacemaker. You may get shot at. Not possibly real shots, but the Bible says persecuted. Happy are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. The persecution can come in many, many forms. Very possibly tailored just to you. But the Bible says that we are supposed to carry through, to go through with it, and to be the peacemakers. Lynn has felt it in the International Academy of Suriname, because she has taught and talked to her students. And when she was the Bible teacher there, taught every grade except high school Bible. And the result was that parents were unhappy. These parents want a good education for their kids. Some are Muslim. The Muslims did not, interestingly enough, the Muslims did not reject it. Some are Hindus. They weren't bothered. It was the educated Dutch American that rejected it. They did not want their kids to know anything about religion. They did not want their kids to know about God. And the result was some of the staff in the school were not happy with Lynn, and so she was fired from her job. The persecution may come that way. But the Bible makes it clear that we are to be peacemakers. We're the sons of God. Therefore, we're peacemakers. And that is our message. Thank you for helping us be peacemakers down in Suriname. And as it was said, I'll be up here for a couple months reporting to churches and, hoping that people will be better informed as to how to pray and to help the work in Suriname. Thank you. Mm-hmm.